Sessionable.
Welcome to Sessionable, and it's just me today with a special guest from Germany, Tom Evans, former host of the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, how are you going?
Oh, you know, pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it feels weird to be back.
It feels weird to be, like, talking to you in a interview fashion.
It also feels weird to be, like, sitting here by myself, drinking beer, but still doing Sessionable. I've drunk by myself before, obviously,
yeah.
Just not talking over Skype when it's with a, you know, big time difference. Because I think I've got some catching up to do, is that?
Yes, so it's currently 12:53 a.m. on a Tuesday morning for me, which is my Saturday night, essentially.
Basically. And for me, it's 4:53 p.m.
So you've just started your day, and I'm just finishing my day.
Yep. Basically.
So why don't we start by talking about what we're drinking at the moment, Tom?
All right. I started with, I've got three beers. I don't know if I'm going to drink them all in this conversation. It depends how far down the rabbit hole we get.
Yep.
But I'm starting off with one of my favorite, just like German lagers. It's the Augustiner Breu Lagerbier Hell. So for my money, I think it's one of the best examples of German Helles Lager.
Like very classic kind of.
Perfect. Yeah. It is. Okay. It is the classic, I think. It's, you know, we don't get it too much in Australia. I don't think Augustina imports at all to Australia.
I've never seen it in Australia.
But they're huge in Bavaria. It's one of the biggest. It's one of the Oktoberfest breweries in Munich. It's one of the big ones. You can get it everywhere in my town in Regensburg. And you'll just be walking down the street and you'll just see guys just like sitting at the bus stop or, you know, walking down the street just drinking one.
Yeah, that's what I loved about. Well, it's not the only thing I loved about Germany, the only time I've been there, but one of the things I loved was, you know, we were staying with this guy, and he was like, oh, yeah, let's have a beer on the way to the station. And then, like, we just kept drinking it on the train. And I'm like, what's going on? This is completely different.
Yep, that's how it works. It's great. For me, it was, like, one of the first days I got here. I was, you know, because I'm here to study. So I went to uni and walking along campus, and there's just, like, this group of guys at a table outside on campus, just with a case of beer, music playing, a couple of bottles of spirits and wine as well, big party on campus during semester.
Mm.
So that was it was kind of interesting. Whereas that would not happen
don't get me started about here. It's just
well, it's a different attitude towards drinking. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And I think, in Germany on the whole, and I think Bavaria especially. I mean, I haven't really been outside of Bavaria much, but not in Germany at least. But Bavarians and beer, you know, it goes together.
What the impression I got was that drinking there, well, especially beer, is more of like a casual occasion, whereas here it's more of a special occasion, so we kind of tend to get more into it.
I think I don't know if they're called drinking beer in Australia to be a special occasion, but it's definitely more of a special occasion. It's less normalized in Australia as it is here.
I think that's a good way to put it. Like normalization there is like just kind of, you know, we'll just have a beer, whereas here is like, you know, we're not going to have a beer unless, you know, a certain condition is met.
Yeah, and it's also the purpose of the beer drinking in Bayern in Bavaria. It's like, people are drinking beer because that's what you do. You drink beer and you just, you know, it's like a bottle of beer in a lot of places costs less than a bottle of water, which is a crazy thought. You drink it like that, but you don't drink to get drunk.
No.
Like, that's not the purpose of drinking beer. Beer is not what you drink to get drunk. Don't get me wrong, Bavarians get drunk. and sometimes they overestimate their abilities at drinking. So they're actually, when they are drunk, they're pretty bad. But, like, they don't drink to get drunk. They don't drink beer to get drunk.
Yeah.
They drink beer because they're sitting in a beer garden with their friends. And what else are you going to do? That's what you do. And it's quite refreshing.
The beer or the attitude?
Both. It's, you know, and I mean, I wrote up a little blog post about this a few weeks ago. But like, it's, I mean, they mostly drink lager. It's pretty much all lager. In all the, in every shop, you can get lager. You can maybe get a Dunkel or Bock at certain times of the year, but yeah. And Hefeweiss, but it's like, it's pretty much all lager, all Helles lager.
So I think it's safe to say that you're getting into your lagers a lot more now that you're living there at the moment.
Definitely. But I've got some, I think it's, I've got some developments on that as well that we'll talk about a bit later when we get to it.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of a basic kind of, you know, my first impression of beer drinking here. But I'm also interested what's going on back your side. What are you drinking and what's going on in the industry and in beer in Sydney and Australia?
In general, yeah. So, first of all, what I'm drinking is the Doctor's Orders Plasma White IPA.
You had to do that, didn't you?
Yeah, it just came in for us and I hadn't had it in the bottle yet.
How does it compare to... Have you had this batch of plasma on tap yet?
I have not. Okay. We have it coming on tap at Camera A soon. But this batch in the bottle is tasting... it's probably the best I've tasted it. I'm not sure if he's changed the recipe, but it's a lot more... it's a lot more citrusy up front, like hoppy up front.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
It's really nice up front, and then it has that kind of plasma, like really clean, dry, bitter finish.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm really enjoying it right now.
Nice.
Yeah. Other than that, a few weeks ago we had Good Beer Week and Gabs.
Mm-hmm. I was following on with that a bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I tried not to as much as I could.
That was very fun. I think my impression of it was that it was very that like Good Beer Week in general was just kind of keeping the good thing rolling. Like they didn't anything too crazy this year, which is good. They didn't need to, which is I think that was a good thing. And Gabs was finally part of the festival this year, so that was good. And I don't think Gabs tried anything too crazy either. So,
well, except going to Sydney.
I didn't go to Sydney because I was working all day that day.
Did you do all five sessions in Melbourne?
I did two sessions in Melbourne.
Okay.
I didn't want to go over the top like I've done in previous years.
Doesn't sound like you.
It's because, yeah, I think it's because that one time that I tried all 90 beers and I just felt that I wasn't enjoying myself and I promised myself that I wouldn't do that again. So
I know what you mean. It's tough.
Last year I only did one session. This year I did two sessions and I think it's better that way. I think it's better to just try a few beers and then just hang out and have a good time.
I think it's also, I don't know. I don't think going to the first session's that important. I like going after that and seeing, like, what does everyone else think are the picks so far?
Yeah, so this year I did the first session, and I tried a few beers that I thought I would like, and then I did the last session, and I asked people what they thought was good.
Yeah. Okay.
And that worked out really well, because I got to try a few beers that were, you know, on my hit list, and then on the last day, people told me it was good, and a few of them were fucking amazing, so... And I would not have tried them otherwise. So yeah.
Okay. So what were your kind of standouts? What were your picks?
My favorite was the Two Brothers Hazella, which I don't think really got a lot of buzz.
No,
but
I didn't hear any buzz.
Yeah, but I love Nutella, and it was super hazelnutty.
Okay.
But at the same time, like not overpowering and just really easy drinking.
Yeah.
So I just really dug that. The I think it was Big Shed that did the Golden Stout Time, which is a Golden Gay Time beer, which is like, you know, it seemed like a beer that they brewed just because they wanted to win People's Choice, and like it probably should have won People's Choice because it was really good. It was like
better than the Brew Cult Milk and Two Sugars.
I liked the Brew Cult, but I liked the Big Shed better. But I think the Brew Cult was more accessible, which is why it won.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And nothing that's not like a negative thing. That was really good, but I like the Big Shed better. And I think the other one that I really rated was the Burley Brewing Peach Saison.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Which is like so peachy. It was like I was thinking Presidents of the United States of America as I was drinking it. It was
millions of peaches, right?
Millions of peaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really good.
Look out.
Yeah. So yeah, what did you think of, like, from, I don't mean this to be like, I don't mean to rub it in or anything, but
oh you don't?
No, like, really, like, this is one of Lee's questions.
Okay.
He what do you think of, what did you think of Gabs and Good Beer Week from a international perspective, like, from what, just what you saw on social media, like, what were your impressions of it?
My impressions were that, as usual, it seemed like the organisers, both of Good Beer Week and of Gabs, knocked it out of the park again.
Mm-hmm.
I saw barely any negative feedback online. That might just be the people I'm following, but I thought I found the Ale of a Time episode that you were on, actually. I thought that was really interesting, and I really liked the part where they talked to just the young couple, the uni students.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite part as well.
Yeah, they were, because they're not beer nerds. It's not that echo chamber, and it was really interesting to hear a complete newcomer's perspective, but still someone who's into it, you know.
Mm.
So I thought that was really, and I just from looking at it, I got the feeling that. And this has been the trend, I think, over the last couple of years, but more and more of the people there are the people there for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And that is the best possible thing, right?
Yeah.
Also just wanted to bring up the news. This is probably more from your side of the world, but the Time Out Sydney Pub Awards.
Yes.
That's first thing on my list. So that just was announced, tonight your time, today my time, as we record. So Pub of the Year went to the Dove and Olive. Best pub food went to the Welcome Hotel.
Yeah.
I wouldn't disagree with.
I would not disagree with that.
Their restaurant is just, I wouldn't call it pub food, but it's incredible.
Exactly. It's like, it's a pub and they do fucking amazing food.
Just an amazing restaurant as well. Like but the pub food is really, really good as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, they absolutely deserve that. Best beer list went to the local tap house, which I thought was interesting.
No,
I
mean, actually, they have a pretty good list, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Like, for a pub anyway, go. Like, as far as pub goes.
Yeah. With a highly commended to Forest Lodge for beer list, which, so good on those guys. And People's Choice went to the Royal Albert Hotel. And I don't know, I think it absolutely deserves it.
I can't think of any better pub in Sydney.
No, I can't either. It is my favourite pub. And it was before I worked there as well. So that's
other thing that's been happening, which you might have missed out on, and again, I don't want to rub it in. Actually, no, wait. I do mean to rub it in this time.
You do?
Akasha Brewery.
Yeah. Okay. So just tell me they're horrible as well. Just, you know.
Like... It's been terrible. Like, they made this hoppy pale ale, just like...
And that Gabs beer was the worst, wasn't it?
The Gabs beer is the worst, and they have this awesome... I mean, they have this terrible IPA.
You're God damn it.
Actually, I have to say, like, I know Dave listens to this. I do have a criticism about the Gabs beer.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gabs beer was their Fire Within, which is essentially their Imperial Amber... Hopped up,
triple four,
you know, yeah, triple
basic,
four,
you know,
essentially really, triple four.
Yeah,
we all know it was meant to be triple four.
Yeah,
and everyone was expecting that, and I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was worthy of like a triple four.
Okay.
I think it was getting there.
Yep.
I think it needed a bit more bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just too sweet, I think. And
okay, yep.
the sweetness bitterness balance, I didn't think. I didn't think it was as well done as
previous
the original
Ambers
44.
As we've had from Dave, yeah.
Yeah. So...
Okay.
But it was the first batch, and it could, you know, it could be improved.
I mean, look at his other beers. Like, I think...
Yeah.
777 was great when it first came out, but...
It was brilliant the next time.
Time it just got better and better.
Yeah.
Until, you know, obvious
until the horribleness happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, the freshwater parallel, the first time it came out, I really liked it. But the next time it came out, it was way better. So
okay.
I think that's like Dave's MO, that he's going to brew good beers, but he's not going to stop improving on them.
Yeah.
So
speaking of MO, how are they going?
They're going okay, I guess. I mean, apparently their Gabs beer was awesome, but I still haven't tried it.
Get around to it?
I got into this mentality of I'm not going to try any beers that I think I can get in Sydney, and then I still haven't gotten most of those beers.
Of course.
So, like, you know, modus operandi, they did the L90, which is, like...
It's a great name.
Named after the bus to get there.
I know that bus very, very well. It's...
Yeah, so that's their kind of imperial version of their Zoo Feeder. And, I didn't get to try it, but I've heard good things.
You will, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. That sounds like it's all chugging along nicely then.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Australia. But how about Germany?
All right. So so far, I've got a few things. So I've been traveling around Europe a bit and drinking a lot of beer in Germany. So I'll talk about both, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'll talk about Germany first. I haven't been outside of Bavaria yet in Germany, but I mean, I've still been to, you know, two of the most probably famous beer cities in the world, Munich and Bamberg. I can't. There are very few cities in Germany that would rival them beer wise, and I think very few cities in the world that would be as kind of renowned for beer.
Yeah, I think like Germany. I think Munich was what my, you know, vision of Germany was back when when I first visited Europe.
Yeah.
It was because, like, you know, it's beer.
You know? It's beer. It's, yeah. Like, I think when you say the word Munich to someone, the first thing they think about is Oktoberfest.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's beer. And the beer in Munich is obviously very, very good. But I think if you're looking for the kind of the traditional Munich beer experience, you can go to the Hofbrauhaus and all that stuff. I think it's a bit naff, a bit touristy, a bit, you know.
Very touristy, but fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh sure. But I would definitely recommend the Weisses Brauhaus, which is run by Schneider Weiss.
Okay.
So they're not a Munich brewery. They're a Bavarian brewery. They're actually from just outside the town I live in, Regensburg. We get Schneider Weiss in Australia.
Yeah, we do.
And it is, their regular Weiss beer is, for my money, the best Bavarian Weiss beer.
Okay.
And their Eisbock is just fucking incredible.
Schneider's stronger beers are just fucking ridiculous.
And their Hopfen Weiss and their Tap X ones that are like limited release ones.
Yep.
So you can get all of them there at their restaurant. And it's a traditional kind of, like, beer hall, Bavarian food, all that stuff. Like, I had a big, what was it? It was like a big pork knuckle with sauerkraut and this ridiculously rich gravy made from their bock. And,
of course.
A potato knödel, which are like these squishy potato dumpling things. Which are really weird the first time you have them, but with a good sauce, they just soak it up, and it's so tasty.
What were we talking about again? Is this a beer podcast? I've forgotten. I'm just drooling all over myself now.
Oh man, just wait till I start talking about sausage. my favorite bar in Munich would, and this is no joke, it's a place called the Tap House.
Of course it is.
Except it's hyphenated. It's the Tap hyphen House.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, you know. Okay.
Yeah, and, sure. Different.
Yeah. And it's a craft beer bar. It's, you know, and it's got, I think it's got, it's more than 20. I think it may be 30 taps.
If you said 20, I would have lost it.
I think it's 30 or 40 taps. I think it's more than 20. Mm. All rotating of great international and German craft beer and lots of bottles. And when I first arrived, in Bavaria. That there's almost nothing in my town at the time. There was almost nothing in my town craft beer wise at all. So I was just drinking Hefeweizen and lager. And we went to Munich like a week or two after I arrived, and I found this place, and I had their Imperial IPA, and I drank it, and it was just like, oh, that's exactly what I was craving. It was just like, it was just hops, just hops. It
it's
was
like
like,
any hobby beer would do right now.
oh, and it, but no, but it was, it's a fantastic beer as well. But like, it was exactly what I wanted. It was everything I, yeah. So that was the Camber Imperial IPA,
Canberra. So are they
Camba.
German as well?
Yeah, so they're Bavarian,
Okay, cool.
and I think they had a stake in the tap house. They were part owners, but I
Right,
think
right.
last time I went, I was talking to the bartender, and he said that the GM had just bought out their share or something, and so it's now, yeah, not, I don't think it's owned by them anymore, but they still have all their beers there.
Okay.
Yeah, so they do some great stuff. So that's
So I guess that answers what would have been my next question, which is, in Bavaria, known for their purity law, are there a lot of beers that are not complying by the purity laws? In other words, are there a lot of weird beers there available?
Kind of yes and no. So even with the Bavarian craft brewers, they pretty much still all stick to the Reinheitsgebot, to
Okay.
the, you know, to the laws, but they push the boundaries with it. So instead of just doing Hellas, or a Dunkel or something, like they'll do an IPA, but IPA is still within the Reinheitsgebot. It's still just those four ingredients.
But they don't do they won't do like a freaking lemon myrtle, Gruet or whatever.
As far as I know, the ones in Bavaria, absolutely not.
Okay.
I've heard of craft brewers from around Germany in different parts that might do stuff like that,
Okay.
but it's quite rare, and it's yeah, beer's a big deal here, and part of that big deal is that it is like it's traditional. It is those four ingredients, and that's it.
Yeah,
Like,
it's part of the culture. It's,
yeah.
they don't want to mess it up.
Absolutely. And the craft brewers, they want to push the boundaries, but they don't want to kind of ruin the beer culture, right? Like, so there's still a lot of room to create amazing beers within those ingredients. Yeah, so that's Munich. There were a few other cool places in Munich. Red Hot, which is a craft beer and American style barbecue place. That was pretty good.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Like always a win there.
I know. Yeah, I haven't had too much of that. There was another place in Vienna we found that did craft beer and barbecue, and I think that was called the Brickmakers in Vienna. And I'd recommend it.
Okay.
Mikkeller on tap, and pretty great barbecue. And they do fresh cinnamon rolls to order, like for dessert.
Nice.
And it was life changing. I have never had a better like cinnamon roll, or better anything
Okay,
really.
cinnamon rolls are just amazing anyway, so.
It was just, it's just so good. I can't even, like,
I definitely want to go to Vienna when I come over.
yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, and if I don't come with you, I'll do give you the list of the good places,
Yeah, sweet.
beer wise, because there's a few.
Sessionable.
Should we get back to it?
Yeah.
All right.
Wow, welcome back, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I was gonna say, and we're back, and then I'm like, wait, no, I'm the
You're the guest.
interviewee.
We were talking a bit off air about I was hanging out with Liam for the I think you've heard of it, the FA Cup final.
Oh yeah, I know.
I think it was happening while you were there. You go for Arsenal? Is that correct?
Yeah, casually, I think.
Casually,
And
yeah.
I think the biggest Arsenal fan in the Sessionable family, it'd be Brad, isn't
He's gonna kill me. When this episode comes out.
it? I was lucky enough to be at the FA Cup final, which was awesome.
How good did they play? Like, I'm not an Arsenal fan, but
No, but it
my
was like, it's
God,
the
that is the most dominating FA Cup
I've ever
final
seen
I've
Arsenal,
seen
really.
in a long time.
Because you don't see that play from Arsenal often. This isn't a football podcast, but yeah, it's if we can play like that next season, we're going to serious contenders, I think.
I was thinking, is this Arsenal? What's going on?
I know,
on?
Right? It felt like that.
But what I want to talk to you about, like, you know, just bringing it on topic, was what, like, what's the beer like at stadiums and, like, over there in general, but, like, just at Wembley and specifically?
Okay, so I was lucky enough, the tickets I had, they weren't Arsenal tickets. They weren't in the Arsenal section. In Wembley, you have it's kind of split into three levels. So you have like the bottom and the top levels are kind of the supporter levels.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, you have Club Wembley.
Okay. So like boxes and stuff.
It's kind of, yeah. But they're like, mine were seats. They weren't boxes, but it's that area where the boxes are. So it's that level, you know. And so I was sitting there because of the how I got my tickets, which was through like friends of friends, and you know, it was a big ordeal.
Connections,
yeah. But I got the tickets. Great view. We were on the back corner on the Arsenal side of the stadium, and got there a bit early because I wanted to make sure I got in and got my tickets. And I'm walking around the concourse, and I see a real ale stand.
Yep.
And it's just got casks of Hobgoblin and some kind of English pale ale. And they're just gravity pouring just straight from the cask. And then like when one cask goes, they just bring up another one and put it on top of the stand and just pouring pints of that into plastic cups. But I'm like, man, this is, you know, and I had a couple of Hobgoblins before going to my seats. You can't take your beer to the seats there, which was annoying. But it's, yeah, but it was really cool to see that there was, you know, real ale and at Wembley inside the stadium.
Gravity pools at a sports stadium.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's easy because, you know, you don't have any, they're going to go through a lot of beer. So that, you know, that helps with cask conditioned ales and you don't need any setup, right? So the stadium there was great. London had some fucking awesome bars, awesome beer. I went to a bunch of bars on Brad's recommendation.
Yep.
Did not regret going to any of them. Went to Brewdog in Camden. Went to the Euston Tap, which was really, really cool.
Yep.
Went to the Craft Beer Co. And they were the main craft beer places I went, I think. But that was more than enough. That was, you know, there was a lot. And there were a few others. But, yeah, it was excellent. It really was excellent.
Mm, sounds like it. But like, you know, just to make me more jealous, what other stuff have you been doing in Europe in general? Like not just beer wise, but just highlights.
In general?
Just highlights.
Okay. Well, so I went to Rome.
Yeah.
Which was cool. It's a very, it was really hot the weekend we went, super touristy, people trying to sell you selfie sticks everywhere you go.
Oh, really? Is that the
every
thing
week.
These days?
That's
okay.
The thing these days. No, but,
did you go to that awesome bar that I can't...
Marquesite Finuti Afar?
That's the one.
Yeah, that was. I think that was one of my highlights, for sure.
Any good beers on tap?
They had Cantillon Viognier.
Okay, yeah, just that.
On tap, so, you know, just
yeah,
a couple.
Pretty standard.
And some other great beers. Went to, Open Balladin, Beer and Food, a place called Lupulo Station, which I think was fairly new, but was really, really good.
That's a great name.
And probably forgetting some other places I went as well, but because I went to a lot of places. And the beer in Rome was excellent. It reminded me a lot of the beer scene in Sydney, especially, I think, because it was kind of a fairly concentrated among just like a few bars for the real beer nerd stuff.
Yeah.
But what they were doing was great. So there wasn't like it, you couldn't really get craft beer everywhere. You could get it, you know, more and more places, but it felt like Sydney in that way. Yeah, went to Krakow in Poland, which I definitely recommend.
Speaking of which, so we were meant to record yesterday, but you said, "Oh, can we like put you back a day because I'm going to this town called Pilsen."
Well, I didn't end up going to Pilsen.
Oh, okay. That's a shame.
Yeah, so it was a shame. We could get there, but it was going to be too hard to get back, basically.
Right.
I actually went to another Bavarian town called Ingolstadt, which it does have a bit of a beer connection. So Ingolstadt is the city which hosted a group of people in 1516 who signed a certain law into law, I guess. So Ingolstadt is the city where the Reinheitsgebot became law.
Oh, wow.
1516.
That's pretty significant. That's like,
but there's, you know, beer connection.
I think that's as significant as going to Pilsen.
Yeah, the beer was average there, but yeah. You know, that's some beer history. You know, that's some fairly important stuff. So I will go to Pilsen soon, and I'll let you know what that's like. I've done a few of them. I haven't posted any yet, but I've got a few posts called Cities of Beer, which I'll do on Noch ein Bier, which is my German beer blog.
Yeah.
Which you can find on the Sessional website.
So did you mention what beer you just poured yourself?
No, but it is aforementioned. We talked about this brewery earlier. I'm drinking the Schneiderweisse Tap 7, Unser Original, which is their just straight up wheat beer.
Okay.
And this is, as I said earlier, it's my favorite wheat beer in Germany. It's on tap at one of my favorite bars here in Regensburg. Which, funnily enough, is the Irish pub in town.
Yes, fantastic.
So, called Murphy's Law. Yeah. So Murphy's Law is probably the place that I've been to the most in Regensburg, bar wise. I also think it's the one with the best German Weissbier on tap. So,
are there any like kind of, I don't want to use the word non-beer, but like just general small bars there that kind of like cocktail bars or whatever.
Yeah, there's a couple of cocktail bars, a couple of just like nightclubs and sports bars and other kind of bars. There aren't any beer bar, like any craft beer bars at all. But there are bars that have beer. Murphy's Law's focus is actually probably more whiskey than beer.
Ah, yes,
has some great whiskey, Irish, Scotch, some Japanese, some bourbon. So it's got some good stuff, and it's so much cheaper than Sydney for good whiskey. Regensburg actually has, here's another fun fact for you, it has the highest ratio of bars per capita of any city in Germany.
Wow.
So
that's pretty huge.
Yeah, it's mostly because it's got a fairly small population. But
Is it because it's a student town as well?
It's a student town, and it's got like a very high concentration of bars in the kind of in the Altstadt, like the old city. Which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Right.
The old city. So yeah. Lots of bars in that area. It's got a big uni, so student town. And yeah. Despite all those bars, there's no craft beer bars yet. But we have had a few developments in the way of craft beer since I arrived. A few weeks ago, we had a craft beer festival in Regensburg.
Hey.
So it was really, really good fun. It was so free entry. It was in one of the beautiful kind of squares in town. But yeah, there was a really, really great craft beer festival there, and it was the one where the kind of model where you go up and you buy kind of like a glass and a book of tokens, and you go to all the things and you exchange your tokens for the beer. The festival glass that you got, so, you know, I think you paid like 3 or 4 euro for it. And then when you returned it, you got that back. So, and it was a Teiku glass.
Okay. So you didn't return yours.
So I just didn't return it. Yeah.
3 euro for a Teiku glass. Oh God.
Yeah. And it says, I love craft beer on it, which is, you know, why not? Like it's a great beer it's a great glass for drinking strong beer out of. And at this festival, there were a number of stalls, which I really, really liked. There was one which just had De Molen stuff on tap. So that was fun. There was one which, from a brewery called Brauerei im Eiswerk, which is a Munich craft brewery. They're owned by, Paulaner. But they do their own thing. And the name Brauerei im Eiswerk literally means the brewery in the ice cream factory.
And is that what it is?
That's where that. Yep, that's exactly what it is.
That's great.
And they had a, they had some great stuff, some nice strong stuff, some barrel aged stuff.
Did that stand have stout floats?
No, it didn't. Missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. But one of my favorite stalls at this place was, it was just called Birretta. And it just had lots of different beer from all around the world. It had Prairie Artisan Ale stuff. It had Rodenbach Grand Cru. You know, it had Brewdog stuff. And it had, it just like had a bunch of cool stuff and stuff I hadn't tried before. So I was there a lot. And then about 2 weeks ago, they opened up a craft beer store in Regensburg.
Hey!
So now I can get my fix. And I told myself, like, the first week they opened, I wasn't able to get there much because I was out of town. This last week, I was like, okay, I'm only going there once a week because it's so easy to get to. But I'm like, I'm only going there once a week, and that's my, you know, and went there three times last week. And I told the guy when I walked in, I'm like, okay, I'll see you. I'm only going to see you once a week. Really nice guy who owns it. I'm only going to see you once a week because I can't afford to come in here more than that. The next day, he's like, oh, you're back. I'm like, yes, I'm back. But yeah, it's a great great little shop called Birretta in Regensburg. And my next beer, if I choose to drink it now or not, I got from there.
Okay, well, let's how about you pour that? Let's take a bit of a break, and then we'll get to recommendations.
All right, sounds good.
Sessionable.
We're going to do some recommendations, as we usually do, but it's going to be a bit different this time, because I'm in Australia, Tom's in Germany.
Yeah.
So I think the idea is I'm going to recommend stuff that Tom can't get, and Tom's going to recommend stuff that I can't get, in terms of, like, beer and non-beer.
Non-beer, okay, I've got some recommendations, but I also have something I want to recommend that you can get. Beer-wise, I can definitely do one you can't get.
Why don't you start, Tom?
All right. I'm going to recommend for beer the best beer I've had so far from Bavaria, which is the Bourbon Barrel-Aged Milk Stout from Camber. It's exactly what it says. It's just a beautiful Bourbon Barrel-Aged Milk Stout.
Oddly enough, my beer recommendation is also a whiskey barrel-aged beer. I think it won an IBA award, actually. It was the Mountain Goat Lark Barrel-Aged Barley Wine.
Can you save me a bottle of that? Is that possible? That's not possible, is it?
It's not possible because you can't fucking get a bottle of it.
So we're recommending stuff that literally none of our listeners can get either.
Yeah, that's... I guess
this
so.
This is very useful.
I guess so. Yeah. No. Well, sort of, but... Oh, my God. If you can get this beer, just, like, don't hesitate.
I'll also recommend the beer that I'm drinking right now, because it is just, oh, so good.
Yeah.
And this one you might be able to get in Australia at some point. So this is, I got this from the local bottle shop, Birretta, and this is the Prairie Apple Brandy Barrel Noir. So it's exactly what it says. It's an Imperial Stout aged in apple brandy barrels, and it is just... Because I think we've probably recommended or drunk or spoke about the wine barrel noir on the show before. We've definitely talked about Bomb. I think we've definitely had Bomb.
Yeah, Prairie Bomb.
But yeah, that's so good.
All right. So how about non-beer that I can't get?
That you can't get? I will say Nürnberger Roast Bratwurst. So... I think they're my favorite German sausages at the moment. So they're little ones, like cipollata style size. I think you only ever do them like flame grilled, flame roast, which we've been doing here regularly. We bought a small little grill and we go sit by the river and grill pretty much every like second or third day. And these are my favorite. They're just so tasty. And you just like put them on, turn them, like flame them for a bit, and then just put them in some bread with, this is my real recommendation, Bayerischer Senf, so Bavarian mustard. So it's Bayerischer Süßer Senf, so Bavarian sweet mustard. It's like seeded, and it's sweet, and it's just fucking perfect with sausages. It's perfect. It's just with anything Bavarian food. It's just so good. I love it. And you, we have a shop in town that is just a mustard shop. They just sell mustard, all types, all different types from the one company. Like, it's the brand is Handelmeyer's. There's other brands, but that's my favorite, Handelmeyer's. Nürnberger Bratwurst and Handelmeyer's mustard is my recommendation.
Wow. Okay.
What do you recommend?
I'm going to recommend, it's not a very original recommendation, because every podcast I've listened to for the past few weeks has recommended this with, like, no reservations whatsoever. And they're right for doing so, because it's so fucking amazing. It's a movie called Mad Max Fury Road. I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
You bastard.
And it's just this stupidly, stupidly over the top, crazy, like, if you read the cast list on IMDb, you get names like Furiosa and the Doof Warrior, which, by the way, are the two best characters in the movie.
I've heard good things about the Doof Warrior. Oh, actually, I might be able to go see that tomorrow. I think I can go see that tomorrow. I have to get a 2-hour train ride to Munich to see it.
It's worth it.
I did that for the Avengers.
But make sure on the train ride that you're hanging off bungee cords off the front of the train, playing your guitar, shooting fire out of it.
Well, that's how I always get the train. So, okay, I'm gonna go tomorrow for sure.
It is seriously worth it. It's probably my movie of the year so far. I'd be furiosa with you if you don't do it.
Okay, all right. My other recommendation of something that you can get and you should get, and it's my current obsession. It is just so much fun. It's a card game called Android Netrunner.
Ah, yeah, you were telling me about this.
Yeah, so this is my current obsession. It's a 2-player card game. You know, kind of in that collectible trading card game style, right? You know, that you might know from like Magic the Gathering or like Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh or stuff. But it's got a really cool cyberpunk theme, and it's not a collectible card game. So
it's just like a set deck.
So there's a set deck with the core deck,
mm-hmm.
and then there are extra packs. But every extra pack, like the cards aren't randomized. So you can choose which packs to buy depending on your playstyle. Because you're like, well, if I don't need that pack because I don't run those cards. Like, you don't have to buy it. You don't have to. There's not that element of chance.
So like, you don't have to get a pack and just hope that you get the good cards.
Yeah, and you won't get those duplicates that you don't need. Waste money on them because you know what's in every deck.
Yeah.
I haven't bought any extra decks yet. I'm just playing with the core set with some friends here. I bought it one day. I was reading about it, looking at some videos, and then next thing I know, I'm just looking at a Amazon receipt screen, and it was like, well, okay, I guess it's arriving in a few days. And it did. And I played it with a few friends here, and then the next day, one of my friends had found a copy at the local game shop here in English, which I should have thought to do first. So I think probably after we finish this call, I think I'm going to go up to his place and play some games. I wrote a small article about it for my new board game blog. But yeah, it's called On Top of the Table is the name of my blog. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. And I wrote an article about how much fun I'm having with Netrunner at the moment.
So Tom, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We should do a big one with the three of you guys and try and do one with me remote and the three
you know,
of you guys.
You know what we should do? When I'm in Europe.
Oh, yes.
We should do like 2 versus 2.
2 versus 2 and yeah. Do like a... Okay, this sounds good. We'll work on this.
All right, we'll work on this.
All right.
All right.
Cool.
Cheers.